and welcome to the LARP News Podcast. This week brought to you by Lambus Bread and Old Toby. This week I've got a really special guest. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Ian. I'm the event organiser for Warriors of Middle-earth, a LARP inspired by the Lord of the Rings.
A very little known sort of environment.
Little known thing. It's inspired by it. Very much that kind of Lord of the Rings lifestyle. But yeah.
I'm so excited. It's a new LARP starting. When's the first event? It's sort of in June, isn't it?
June for 21st to the 23rd up in Scotland.
Yes! First Scottish LARP that I've ever going to go to anyway.
Mate, it's, for someone who's like, I've lived in Scotland for so long, there's really nothing up here. It's crazy. You go down to England, you kind of go each way from turning to a different LARP.
Yeah.
You come to here, it's nothing. It's just, well, there's some up in Aberdeen, but they're just not like... That's Aberdeen so far, and who wants to go to Aberdeen?
Nah. Oh no, we're starting beef already with the Scottish community. So why don't we start there then? Why don't you talk me through how you started LARPing if it was so sparse up in Scotland?
So, guess I'm creative. So my fiance Emma and my friend Michael, we all planned, this is going to be ages ago, back in like 2015 or something like that, all planned to go to Japan for a holiday. And we were like, oh, let's all go. And then it came up on Emma's Facebook for Witcher School, which was an old Witcher LARP based in Poland. And Emma just sent it in the group chat and was like, wouldn't it be crazy if we did this? And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, running about in the field with a sword, I don't know. But in the back of my head going, oh my God, this sounds so cool. Because we'd all just played and finished Witcher 3. And we were looking for more of it.
Yeah.
So then we, out of our minds, decide to go to Witcher School in Poland. Which is crazy enough, so we have to, so without even any LARP experience, fly over to Poland.
Yeah.
And then from there, had to get a bus that was like 2 hours away to the middle of this Polish countryside, which is beautiful, to this place called Castle Mojna, which was like a massive like wedding hotel. Went there, you had a room. Yeah, Witcher School was basically like you would go, and it was essentially like a Witcher school, and you, it was like kind of like you would learn how to do it, and they would teach you free, you'd have little storylines. But it was like a crash course into LARP because I'm not gonna say it was well organized for some points, but I got there and they were like, "Oh, you have all your information. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." I was like, "Okay, no problem." It took an hour to get signed in because we were all stood in this queue.
Wow.
And we were all just like, "Okay, waiting in this polo sheet," and then signed in. They were like, "Okay, go get your clothes." I go down to try and get my clothes, and they go, "Oh yeah, you're this size. Just give me it all. Head up to my room with Emma." Put them down, go put on the smallest gambeson you've ever seen. Like, it just, like, constricts me, and I'm like, this is not my size. And I go down to try and say something to them, and they go, no, that's all we've got.
Oh, no.
So, like, we came with no kit.
Yeah.
Nothing. I came with, like, whatever. I had my back. I never thought to bring it because they said they were gonna give us everything. Like, I didn't have any weapons. That was a thing at the female LARP, was, like, none of the people had weapons.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, there was nothing. It was like, once you get the armor on, the game started on the Friday, let's say, about 7.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, that's it. And you had no weapons and no real, just all, it was all complete roleplay and what you made of it.
Yeah.
Which makes it sound like a really, really bad event. But they put a high level of immersion into it. And they put just like, it was just, when you were there, it didn't feel like, oh, I'm like, I'm maybe in a field somewhere. You felt like, no, you were there, I think. Yeah. Because everyone else was bought into the bit and everybody else was like role-playing really hard. You also felt the need to.
Yeah.
What also might have helped, it was treated a bit, they did say it in the Witcher School, this is treated as a boot camp.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, oh, okay, I'll come and they'll make us do a few press-ups. Oh, no. We got there and they were like, oh, we're gonna feed you first. I was like, oh, awesome, I've not eaten all day. And they fed us and... In the show Band of Brothers, they do this.
Yeah,
they
They
eat spaghetti and then run up the hill. We ate, like, oh God, man, it's really good. And then, like, this massive fountain, if you ever look at Castle Mojna, there's a massive round fountain. They go and they went, just run around it.
Oh, no.
And they didn't. And they, it wasn't like run around it 3 times. It was like, oh, we'll tell you when to stop.
Oh, that's so.
So, well, again, which sounds horrible. But after you've done that and you're like, oh my God, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm okay, I committed to it. I've actually, it's no longer roleplay. I actually, like...
I am a witch.
Yeah, and they, like, so we have all that. And Witch School was a pretty intense experience. I could do multiple podcasts on just experiences we had there and stuff I've heard. that was kind of our first experience, and we went 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. And the problem with Witcher School, okay, I think what happened to it was it was a lot of money to go to. I think it was like £200 the first time. Then it scaled up to £350, yeah. But we never saw a real improvement in kit and whatnot. That from like player side, maybe crew got stuff, better stuff. We never saw that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of hard for us to keep giving this money over, and they also including flights back and from Poland, hotel stay when you're in Poland, and it turned into a pretty expensive thing. But we still loved it, and I was just like, man, I wish there was something like that in the UK. Not even thinking about how there's a massive LARP community.
Yeah.
I wish there was just Witcher School, but like, but then I saw Northern Kingdoms float about quite a lot, and I was like, man, I've got a message, and I messaged them going like, hey, do you guys have any tickets left? And Simon was like, nah, we've sold out. And I was like, I'll get the things. He said, but I had a look at your Facebook profile and I saw you went to Witcher School. And this is the worst CV in history. he went, I saw your profile picture and saw you went to Witcher School. Do you want to come crew? And I was like, and he went, I've already got this character who's a Witcher. Do you want to come and play him?
Yeah.
And I was like, knowing nothing about the UK LARP scene, which is quite different to quite a European. It's like they have their own different styles. So, yeah, like a idiot as well. I speak to Emma and go, we should go do this crew, this Witcher thing, it might be fun. Another thing about me, when I went to Northern Kingdom for the first time on the first episode,
yeah,
I had just gotten a new job, a new flat, and I just finished my training as an amateur wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, awesome, awesome, awesome. And I went to this with... with nothing.
Oh, no.
I went to it with not even a blanket.
Yeah.
I showed up and Simon, who runs Northern Kingdoms, was like, oh, cool. It was in this York Viking village. Mm. I don't know if you've ever been to it. Quite nice. It's got a massive Roman fort.
Yeah.
A nice little village that people can stay in. So it's actually, and there's like actual museums. So there's like food and there's like toilets and stuff like that, which is, if there's hot food, toilets and that at a LARP.
Yeah.
Like golden.
Running water and showers, absolute revelation. It's amazing.
So we did Northern Kingdoms, and that was a learning experience for me because again I went with nothing, except for some. I had some kit, like I had a gambeson in it, and I had like a weapon or two, and I had like some bits and bobs. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, going there, it was just like I remember it rained the full first night, as it usually does in a LARP. It rained the entire first time. Somebody's tent got drowned. We were in the Roman fort, if you ever go, and there's like little sheds there.
Yeah.
We slept in those. and if it was too windy, the door would rattle open.
Oh no.
And so like it was me and my three other friends, and Emma and my three other friends all staying in this one place. Mm. We were just like it was like such weird conditions.
Like little penguins huddled together for warmth. Probably.
Whenever it's like I don't ever feel like a veteran, but whenever someone at a crew at Northern Kingdoms go, oh man, this crew room is a bit small, I go, you've got no fucking clue. I would even hesitate to call the first crew room a crew room. It was like smaller than the room I'm in now, but there was like 10 or 12 crew.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of crew. I think there was about 30 players. Yeah, so we crewed that, and then after the first time, I just became hooked of crewing because I really like playing different characters and stuff like that, and like really liked the aspect of like, if I didn't like this, I go back. It's a bit like DMing in D&D,
where you
get to try on multiple different hats. You can get to see what works for you.
Because that's where I got to meet you for the first time was when we were doing the Northern Kingdoms episode in the caves.
Aye.
And then it was my first ever Northern Kingdoms and I was absolutely terrified. And Callum and Dave, who play the legendary Dubois brothers, all I remember hearing is just Callum and Dave screaming bloody murder as they were walking back through the caves, followed by you as Beau Duval, which, as I have to say this, I am a huge fan of Beau Duval.
It's such a weird thing because to talk about Beau Duval, and like a weird thing I have with him, where like at Northern Kingdoms, there were 4 episodes before I started playing as Beau Duval, because I was just bits and bobs of crew. It wasn't like I ever pitched an idea, like I was like, whatever. And then the way Beau Duval came about was during the 4th episode, it was quite hot. We were on this, like, we were doing tourneys in Toussaint, so everybody was like a Toussaint-y. And we were like all having fun there. And there was an incident on the tourney grounds, which left kind of people low energy.
Yeah.
And so I ran back. For some reason, Emma had this blonde wig. And she was like, Ian, pop it on. And they popped it on and they said, Emma said, you look like Vince Neil now.
Amazing.
And so I was like, I'm keeping this on, put the hat on, brought all instruments out. And kind of brought everybody out. Cut, again, so weird because my background in wrestling helped me here, because I came in and I was like, I've got to fucking hype the crowd up.
Mm-hmm.
Got to bring them back from everybody kind of having a low point. Ran back in, hyped everyone back up and kind of made this character up on the fly, more or less.
Yeah.
And I could see the reaction it got. And I was just like, oh, I'm committing to this. And I'm one of those people where, like, if someone, like, starts, like, I can see someone start to, like, oh, I'll commit to the bit even harder.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, committed with the hat, with the hair, and everything like that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that really sold it is me and my friend Michael, mm-hmm. who's helped me with the Warriors Middle Earth. He, like, we went backstage, and we were, our teams were to fight each other. It was crew versus crew.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to him was, there's no point in us making this, like, a real fight and, like, swish-swash, like, us actually fighting. Because I said sometimes LARP fighting come across a bit, like, slappy.
Yeah.
And not as cinematic as you want it to look. So I said, why don't we just try and really do, like, a really cool cinematic fight? And he was totally up for it. And so we planned this whole thing. In, like, 5 minutes, we were like, you steal my hat and I run around chase you, and then you fall over and that's when I get you. And I think having that as well kind of sold a lot of, like, people to Bodeville.
Yeah.
Then they couldn't stop me to get couldn't stop me from playing them, because people were, like, really in love with the character and love the idea of just, like, somewhat like a dandelion, somewhat like a kind of buffoon coming in.
Yeah.
Whenever he shows up, it's always like, oh my god, I don't what's he gonna try and make us do? It doesn't matter because I'm gonna go do it anyway.
I, like, genuinely love him.
It's like one of those things of, like, there's a crew member called Chris.
Mm.
And he came into the episode 6 or so, and so I had done a couple of things with Bo.
Mm.
And people seem to really like it. But it's a weird thing with me where, like, I have the wig on and I'm like, oh, whatever. But I don't actually get into character, I would say, for, like, till 5 seconds till I walk into the camp. And I switch on. Where, like, Chris was like, we were doing this quest line where we had to get some of the players to this little bit of water, because there was a water hag there, and it was, like, they were calling Lady of the Lake, and Bo DeValle heard that she was beautiful and wanted the people to try and help people meet the beautiful lady. So I walk into the player camp, Chris is like, how are you going to get so many people to come help you? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'll just go in and start talking to them about how they really need to come help me and stuff like that. We go in, I do the whole thing. I think at one point, like, to get people to come, I ate a banana with a skin on it. And I was just like, and I was just going full for it because I didn't know what a banana was.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did that, go to Lady Lake, come out of it, and Chris goes, what was that? I go, because he says, you were eating, then you were gone. It's just almost like somebody else took over you. And it's a really weird thing of, like, I'm weirdly protective, because there have been ideas in the past, people being like, why don't we do this? And I go, oh, you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
As much of an idiot and a buffoon he is, I fully realise who the character is and what he's kind of flaws and what he's like, what he wants out of life and stuff like that. So when people pitch ideas, I always go, nah, that's not what he'd want, or that is something Bo would do.
Yeah.
And I always feel like he's good to have at that Witcher LARP, because as much as the Witcher's like a dark and kind of scary world and, like, people are getting killed and it's like, blah, you need that bit of levity.
Yeah.
You need that bit of, like, kind of almost a little bit of sunshine.
Yeah.
So there'll be times in the crew camp when something's just happened and I think people are quite low, and I'll go, I'll give them a treat. and I'll get whipped on. And, like, we've sometimes had quests lined up, but we've also had times where I go, I'm just going to go in, and then as Bo, stuff will happen, we'll see what happens. I might go with them in an encounter or two. But he is just, like, a nice kind of fun character to play.
Yeah.
It's going to sound so weird. I think I'd done a lot of roles at Northern Kingdoms where I'd done, like, one or two roles. I hadn't done anything where I felt like I was like, okay, I'm this character. And, like, hey, I was just kind of like, okay, this is fun. But as soon as I started playing Bo, it's gonna be, I think a lot of people saw a potential in me. They were like,
yeah,
this guy commits to the bit, maybe, or he just I feel like I can almost, like, bring a room together.
Yeah.
Again, not in a mean way, like, again, the center of attention, get everybody to kind of focus on one task.
Yeah.
Which at a LARP sometimes is what you need.
I mean, it's definitely true. I mean, I put a post up on the Facebook page saying that I was interviewing you, and the amount of love just from everybody, and it's not just my friendship groups, anyone that has ever sort of had any kind of interaction with you, they love you and all of the characters that you play just so much. Like, you are an incredible RPer.
And I really don't, like, It's really awesome and amazing to hear that. It's like, it's a bit astounding because I never really thought I'd maybe get something like this or kind of like have it. And it's as stupid and silly as it is.
Mm.
It does mean a lot to me when I see people going like having such a nice reaction to it.
Yeah.
And people maybe going and maybe I'm trying to be better and like take on praise as much as I can. But it's really nice to hear how much people really do enjoy me being there. And there's like other people who have made Bo what he is and stuff like that. Nick, who does like runs Portents and that, he's super lovely. Every time I talk to him, I've been like, it's like so weird because he probably looks at me and goes like, "Oh man, that's kind of." I'll be like, I also want to be kind of like Nick. Nick's so lovely. He's made it, his character.
I think it's the fact that you never turn anyone away, and I'm not saying that other people when you're RPing do that, but there can be this kind of like exclusion zone around people in their own game. And I think that what makes you and people like Nick and Callum and Dave so good at RP and LARP in general is the fact that everyone's kind of just open, and anyone can go up to any of you guys and just be like, "Help! I don't understand how this works," or just be like, "Have you seen my spoon?" And they will dedicate time and energy to helping you find something as silly as a spoon, and they will throw their entire like RP into it.
Yeah, it's just because it's just like when you're at a LARP, it's almost like you're part of a giant. Because you could say it's a cast of characters, but it's not really like that. It's almost like a giant kind of team working exercise.
Yeah.
Where everyone kind of has to help everyone. And if I see someone sitting down and they kind of look like they're not sure, I really want to go over to them and start talking to them and try and get them involved in something, because it's the worst thing to go to something like that and then just like have nothing happen to you. Yeah. I'd like to try and. You want to try and give everyone a good experience, at least.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we come on to. After crewing, I think I crewed like 9 or so Northern Kingdoms.
Mm.
So, like, I've like learned bits and bobs in the background and kind of helping the administrative side, kind of like story writing side, and kind of get together a couple of ideas. And I was like, I want to try and make my own LARP. But then the first thing you do is like, if I want to try and make my own LARP, where do I base it? I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I do love The Witcher, but I don't really want to do another Witcher one. I want to do something different.
Yeah.
And it's hard to go, oh, I'd want to do Fallout, because then you go, how do guns work? How do all this work? How do you, like... And so we go back to, like, when it comes to Witcher School, of, like, just that bare roleplay and that bare kind of, like, you show up, and sometimes you may not even have a sword, or you may have, like, a shirt. But as long as you kind of can play that off, that's kind of all we need.
Yeah.
With Wom... World of Middle Earth. I based it in Lord of the Rings for a couple of reasons.
Mm.
There is magic. There's like Gandalf has a stick, and even Gandalf magic is kind of like a bright light, or he makes his voice loud. There's nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
Taking a magic system out of your first LARP helps a lot, because there's a lot of like stuff that goes back and forth of how you do magic, and like how it works in the game and stuff like that. It can be too overpowered, or sometimes it can be less. But it's taking that out. Kind of does, but again, taking it out does also leave you with like maybe there are people who want to play those magic characters and stuff like that, so like you're taking that away from people. But if you say it in a good way and you kind of say, oh, this is the reason why, explain the reasons why, that's also one of the things about Wom. I've tried to be quite transparent when it comes to any decisions, anything, or like what I'm doing in the background.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely felt that like when I first heard about it, the first thing that I saw was the link to the Discord. And even when it was like brand new and your website wasn't even up and running, the Discord was there and you were always there, very present and willing to answer any questions and take on so much feedback as well. Like it seems like it's a really sort of player driven sort of curation as well.
Yeah, the first thing I did with Wom was when I said it was going to be Lord of the Rings, because there's no money, no magic, just kind of people coming and helping the dinner dine.
Yeah.
I got a Google sheet up, started bullet pointing ideas that I wanted to have there, talked to a few people, and we kind of came to the idea of it helping the thing, because they always look super cool in the films.
Yeah, they do, right?
So it's just like, man, they always look super cool. That's who doesn't want to come be that?
And it sort of takes place before the Fellowship, right?
Before the Fellowship, it's like 4 years before Gandalf arrives in the Shire, so like there's some other little stuff going on, but there's nothing too major where we haven't got like an idea of like stuff. We're not wanting to like make a massive climactic event. We just kind of want to tell this little bit personal story of like what happened in this fort and what happened in the fight in Bree and the men in the north. I was going to say, you took the magic out, took the money out. And then, so when you do all that and you write what you want and you go, I actually have to try and run it now. I have to try and get it. Because the venue is very important when it comes to making this LARP. Because, again, there's not, when the time I've been here, there's not been a lot of Scottish LARPs. And I would like to see more up here. Not just run by me, run by other people, so that I can go and play in them.
And then you save so much money on petrol.
Man, that's, it's not me who drives. It's my awesome fiance drives us. She's driven us 8 or 9 hours. She's driven us to Wales. She's driven us to, like, I think to go to these. So she's very, very much. Emma is very committed. One of the reasons I asked her to marry me. She's very committed and very, like, great when it comes to, like, I go, this event's all the way down here, do we really want to go? And Emma goes, I can do it. And she drives them pretty much without protest. There's not, like, a lot of times where she, like, she'll get really angry. She just gets really nervous when it comes to, like, driving.
Yeah.
But she's honestly always wanting to be at LARP and stuff like that as well. So it's great to have a partner.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It's like that. So when it came to doing WOM and finding a venue, my auntie was like, there's this really cool place where they do Outlander stuff, and they do, like, they have, like, the Robin Hood from, like, for Russell Crowe in it. And
yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna go check it out. It'll be like a fucking hut in the woods. Whatever. And I go to it for, like, they have, like, a Viking day, so I was gonna check it out. And it was one of the most incredible venues I've ever been to.
It is not just a hut in the woods. It's a phenomenal site.
It's incredible that you think that it's 20 minutes away from me in a car ride. Because I never thought anything that would be that close. So you drive up. So also the drive up is beautiful because it's this nice Scottish kind of, like, flatland with kind of, almost like in a valley. Mm. And as you drive up, it's also right next to a dam, which looks like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Go up park, and it's on a hill when you walk up. And it's an actual live, I have no idea how to explain it more, it's a fort. It's like not even a fact of, like, oh, this is made at hang. They built it all by hand. It's all made, like, in the way you would make a fort back then. It's still to do with Scottish heritage and stuff like that. And kind of showing a bit of look off that. It's Clan Ranelagh who run it. Put it all together. They built everything.
Yeah.
They have it pictures of it on their Facebook of when they were building it.
Yeah.
But you walk up, and inside, there's a couple of houses as well. There's a couple of, like, things up there. And I met the guy who runs the place, Charlie. Lovely guy. Who, when I said I want to bring LARP, he was like, I want LARP. He was like, I want LARP to be here. He said, we had 2 people try to do it before, but nothing ever actually happened of it.
Yeah,
he said they didn't really turn out. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. Had Lord of the Rings, had the venue, and then I think I made the Discord, the Facebook announced that I was doing it, like, last year in July or August, I can't really remember.
Yeah.
And I just said to people, hey, I'm doing this. Nothing. You're not going to see anything for a while because I'm doing stuff in the background. But I am. And then just kind of spent, blessing in disguise, I got suspended from work for 6 weeks. But they suspended me and I was like, wrong move, partner. Because then I could just hyper-focus on this.
Yeah.
And I did. And I got great outline of the story done. I've got, like, a whole organisation done.
Yeah.
I've got a checklist of stuff when you get done, which is pretty much done now. It's crazy to think that. And I just had to kind of fill out a couple of things, and it's crazy because, again, I could do another podcast on how to make a LARP.
Yeah, right.
If you're somebody's interested and they have an idea for it, I'm going to be honest, it's hard, but it's not as hard as you think. It's not like the monumental task of, like, if you're dedicated and you have organisation down and you can keep to a deadline you put to yourself, that's what I did. And so I just plotted it when we announced it. I said to Emma, when it comes to December, I'd want to have the story lettering done and a website up.
Mm-hmm.
Done that, and I said bye. I think I would say ticket again. This is where Emma comes in, who's a great partner, because she runs like a little farm wildlife centre.
Yeah.
She's just a manager for there. So she has all these hidden skills. She's not a very talkative person, so when she hits it or something, you go, ah, oh, she's like a little, like, kind of bit of genius.
Yeah.
Where she, I was like, I'm going to put tickets on sale in December. And she went, don't do that, because people bought Christmas presents, and the best time to do it is actually the end of here.
Yeah.
And I went, holy shit. And then we
did it.
Yeah,
right. She's smart.
Yeah. She's just got all these little things. She's also been great when it comes to, like, social media and getting all the stuff that whenever you see stuff on social media, that's her.
Mm.
Mainly because you can tell because everything's spelt correctly and graphed. I don't have that skill. She has that skill locked down. So I couldn't do any of that without her. So I built the website using Squarespace, which is super simple and super cool. Not sponsored.
Other website building tools are available.
Yeah, other website tools. I used that one, went through and just kind of like, but again, there's other ways you can do it. You can, if you were really wanting to get stuck in, you could learn how to code a website, which would be a lot of work, but it's a skill you can build.
Yeah.
And it would help because sometimes they're not sponsored, so Squarespace can be a real pain in the ass. especially when making a site and like making it how you want it to be, because Emma has this thing of like thinks the site we have looks ugly and stuff like that, which it does look. It's like a black ugly site and it has a couple of pictures and whatnot, but it was basic and kind of utilitarian for what I needed it to do.
It does what it needs, and then that's it
And so we've just kind of like sell tickets on there. It was really crazy because in the first night we sold 15 and I was like, whoa, we're off to the races, no problem. But then we had a month where it was just like no one was buying tickets, and I was like, and I was just sitting there going like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, I've got this event, this venue to book. And I went, if worst comes to it, I'll just book the venue and I can just go live there for a weekend.
I think that's the kind of mentality that you have to have, because with any kind of creative thing, you have to kind of accept that it might not work out first time. But I think, I mean, you've got such a massive pull anyway. And having read the design document and like all of the rules, there are a lot of mechanics that you've got going on in this game that I haven't seen in any other kind of like small scale LARP. Like one rule that I really wanted to talk about was the fact that the way we start the game in our small little bands of various different numbers, and then we get like one referee who's going to be our commander. That just sounds really cool, having your own person just driving around with us. I think that would be really cool.
So when it came, again, going back to which school, when you went there, you were all I borrow a lot of stuff, but sometimes the best idea is that when you borrow stuff from everything you like and you get a joint together. Same with most kind of like fantasy writers, or same with like most kind of like films or TVs. Witcher School, we all got assigned a master, and like I really liked that because it meant when you had a problem, you could go to someone and you can go like, hey, I've got this, and they all had their different personalities, quirks, but they all would come around to help you because that was their job to do. So that's kind of what I wanted to build here. I wanted to build like a kind of cast of characters when it comes to around the fort, who you could like interact with and who would be your guy. And I also like the idea of scouting parties, like you said, like a group of like 6 to 8 people. You're all together. But I never wanted it to seem like kind of clicky. I wanted it to seem like everyone was working together and you could go off in your groups and help each other. But you had this group that you would go out and like kind of like do scouting parties with, and like they were just going to act as random events.
Yeah.
But that mechanic is quite new. It's going to sound the really good thing about it for me is that when it comes to running events and running encounters, a lot of times I don't know if you've ever seen this, but when you crew a LARP, at least, it feels like you're waiting forever for the players to make a decision.
Because
when you're a player, it's your character's life, and it's like how they would react and like how they want to do things. There's a lot of like stuff that goes on to it. You can't just like, not everyone just wants to go to march in the woods. People need to get armor on. There's a whole bunch of things that goes into it.
And brevity is a skill that is lacking in a lot of LARPers, I find.
Yes, so when it comes to this, it was like, hey, I'm going to have these set times. You'd go and patrol the fort because it's a working fort. You would do active patrols and you would scout the area. And I was like, and what that helps me with really is like scheduling encounters.
Yeah.
So like I go like, whether the players go or not, this encounter is happening now. So they need something to go out and find it. And if you say like you do encounter one and you go out and you find this MacGuffin, you find like a knife and you're like, oh, really special knife, and you come back to camp with it, and say somebody, another scouting party goes out and they find the second part of that, and like, so then they go like, oh, we've got the second part, say like the other half of the knife, and they go, oh cool, they need to come to you, you're a group and you kind of need to do work together, which just kind of creates what you want in LARP, which is a cooperation of people, and people like kind of coming together and working and helping each other. So initially we had a subclass and class system, which was working, but I felt like it was like it was really limiting people, really, to what they wanted to maybe do. So we just, I just kind of, rewrote it just to be skills instead, which was just like, I liked the idea of someone who like shows up and maybe it comes to this LARP the first time, maybe never of LARPing, and they're like, I wouldn't know how to balance classes and who has what. If you just say, I want to do gardening, cooking, short weapons, and then say like medium armor.
Yeah.
That's the four things. And like, I would say, you can learn new ones with, over the kind of course of the events we're going to have, but you can like, they're kind of four kind of representative like your character.
Yeah.
And kind of what they come to. And what I like about it is you necessarily don't have to take, and this is where it's coming to, is like, a lot of people aren't necessarily taking the combat thing. We kind of built WOM for it to be inclusive and all that, where it doesn't, you don't have to come and you don't have to like bash people with like, weapons and stuff like that, which is like, some people come to LARP to that. Some people just like to sit and vibe in a camp that just feels like it's an actual like working camp.
Yeah.
Some people wanted to be the guardsman on the watchtower looking over, looking for people.
Mm.
Some people want to be the little gardener, which is like, the garden part of WOM is something that I felt was like really important. There were a couple of times we thought of it taking out because it was just like, how do you do this? How do you like really, how do people are going to run a garden over a 3D event when there's like nothing would grow? But we've like come up with really creative ideas of like how the garden would work and how it's going to be managed.
Yeah.
And we have someone very, very awesome and cool, Chelly, like really.
Oh, is Chelly going to be the...
Chelly's going to be...
Oh, I'm so excited.
She's playing a little hobbit who's like, who looks after this garden. And so, like, if you go to the garden and go, like, hey, I want to do this, she'll help you, which is the perfect person for it.
She genuinely is. I'm so excited now.
There's when I came to making this LARP, I was like, I don't really want any hobbits. I don't want people, like, running around, like, because in Lord of the Rings, hobbits never really leave the Shire. That's kind of point of the films.
Yeah,
that's why they leave. But when Chelly came to me, I was like, I kind of think, because when I said to the people who I thought could do the NPC main roles, I said to them, I'm not going to write for you guys. You guys can come up with your own character ideas, which I was hoping they would feel more attached to them and you would feel more committed to play them. And Chelly was like, I really want to play the Hobbit. And I went, sounds perfect. I could not think of someone who's a perfect little person to feel like such warmth and such like, just like, you just feel like you're at home with them. And you're just like, I think one of the crew said, you'll have to try and stop me from just sitting downstairs in Chelly's tent drinking tea all day.
Yeah.
And I was like, but that's kind of, I don't want to stop people. That's like kind of the part of the LARP is like having those moments of just quiet, because Lord of the Rings isn't all just slashing orcs and just going mental. It's a lot of it is the quiet time and just kind of like the nice brevity and kind of there's just kind of a bit of humour.
And a lot of the times those are the moments that make a LARP really special, because it's sort of like 9 times out of 10 any of my core memories that I have from any of the LARPs that I've gone to, it's always been in a camp and not on a battlefield.
No.
And that kind of like interaction you have with other people.
A battlefield sometimes is like there's too much going on. Battles are great because you get that chaos and you get like, that crazy, but like sometimes you said, the best core memories are just sitting in a tent having a laugh.
It's quite funny you say that actually, because me and Chelly, we're crewing Nick's LARP, and I came to her and I was like, shall our characters just sit down and drink tea all weekend? And she was like, yes, we shall. And now I feel like I'm on the right path if that's all people do.
That's the pull of Chelly as well, of just like, that's all people want to do with her. But I was wanting to talk about portents, man. That's like a really cool, you could even say it's an inspiration for me wanting to do this, because you see Nick doing it and having seen the kind of things he had, I was like, and seen like the, what's it called, the like feedback he was getting from his, and hearing about it, because I have one of my really good friends is Raz, and Raz went to it and Raz was like, this was one of the best LARPs I've been to, just because like it was just kind of like free and kind of like how Raz was able to play.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, because I really wanted to go and play this time with it.
Yeah.
But it's all the way down Nylarp from...
it's a long way from where you are.
We've driven there before, and I can't say more good things about that site. That site's...
it's a beautiful site, isn't it?
Incredible, beautiful, but, like, it just takes a long... And just takes a long way for me to get there. But I may have worked out a way for me to get there next time, which won't cause things, so hopefully I can go play...
Oh, that's exciting.
...in November, because I have a full character listed out of it. I'm really, really excited. The character I want to play... I spoke to Nick about it, and I was like really excited for like it, but I just couldn't go this time, just because I'm getting married in April. So I was like, I've asked for this off, warm off, bashing off, and then get stuff like that, and just going like, I've got to draw the line somewhere.
LARP wedding. LARP wedding. Yeah. That's amazing. I think as well, like, we've talked about the site and the fact that it's such a, like, an original and individual site. The fact that it's a medieval village, it's in the middle of Scotland, so it's beautiful. We talked about some of the gameplay and things like that. Something that I'm kind of interested about is the fact that we write our character sheets and then you look at them and sort of create story from that. Do you have like a general idea in your head and you're going to try and sort of fit players into that sort of thing? Or is it going to be much more tailor-made, do you think?
When it comes to writing for this, I've been a DM for D&D for years now. What I really like doing is taking people's characters and turning them against them. I really like
you came here as friends, now leave as mortal enemies.
I like weaving people's storyline, because when they write the stuff, I think a lot of people go like, and this is my set character, but I like looking at people's backstories and going like, how can I like weave this in? And sometimes people write backstories, we've got a few in, and you just see them slot into the main story and you go, I don't really have to do anything here.
Yeah.
But we have a couple of main storylines going on. We didn't want to write too much because we know when people write that, we can have stuff going on there. And also, I don't want to spoil anybody's character. I don't want to spoil anything going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've had somebody coming up with a great, great character concept. And so we've now started kind of taking the time of like going through and like putting in stuff into the LARP of like, this is going to happen here, this can happen here.
Yeah.
Because I've done a schedule for the encounters.
Mm.
It seems like quite a lot. So now we're like, what we're doing is like seeing where we can scale down and add stuff in that kind of like trim things back. But we really want people to write their own characters, and then once we want to read them back, mainly because when it comes to Lord of the Rings, we don't want MD to be like, oh, I'm the grandson of Gimli, I'm the
yeah.
of this, I'm the like really highborn. We want people to come, and when they do anything, called on people, wanted like the free people, Andy, who could just like come and help them, is able to come and help them. And that's one thing, again, when we're writing this, we didn't want to start anyone off as a Dunedain, because I didn't want a player coming in who was a dwarf, who's just come to help the Dunedain off their own back, not getting paid. It wouldn't happen, but it's one of those fears I've had, of somebody going like, well, I've been here doing this for so long, I didn't want MD Hat feel like starting off in a different playing field. I want everyone starting off in the same way, and also in the same way. I wanted this kind of feeling of, it's one of the kind of themes of Lord of the Rings, of like stuff going away. In this fort, there's 10 Dunedain, and they've been trying to hold it down, and now they can start to realise maybe they should start to enlist more people and try to come up with something new. Like, this old way doesn't work. Let's try something new. And I like the idea of like players coming in, they're human elves and dwarfs, and I didn't put any perks tied to that, just because I just feel like that's, when it comes to like playing a race, it's only aesthetic really.
Like,
you can play it however you want to. You don't have to play the dwarf as an angry man, you don't have to play the elf as a very like someone who's insulting all the time. You don't have to play the human as like who humans are always just complete dicks. you can come and you can be whatever you want to be. If you want to be an elf who was a craftsman, like Calibrimbor, and like Kellic, something like that, you can come and do that, because we've got our friend Seth coming, and he's just kind of started doing blacksmith.
Yeah.
And he was speaking, and he was like, dude, come along and just do it there. I need somebody who's just like a blacksmith for atmosphere. There's no money at the event, so there's no like, there won't be any, because I feel like we're taking a currency out of the event also.
Yeah.
It avoids the thing of people going like, well, I'm just here to fight for the money.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing of the Dunedain is they want them to come and just help out. And you just get to like, in that world, if you got to go help and train the Dunedain, that would be payment enough. Because you're like, you get to do that. So when you come there, there's no money. You can go up to the blacksmith and you talk to him, and you can go like, hey, stuff like that. And Seth is one of the most wonderful people where he was just like... But when you start talking to a blacksmith, you turned on the faucet.
And you're
just like talking. He'll talk with anyone. But yeah, he's more than happy to do that all the time. So it's really, again, what you're talking about is, it's really started to, everything started to fall into place.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it's really nice to, like, with when you're talking about the crew, when you're sort of, because they're so emotionally attached, like you said, with Chelly, and the fact that, you know, she's created her own character, and Zeph's got blacksmithing OC, and he's going to actually be able to do it IC as well. It's like the fact that you've got such a, like, a great crew base that are so passionate about just LARP in general, but also what they're going to be able to do. That sounds so exciting. I'm so excited.
It's one of those crazy things. It's like, we're all obviously friends.
Saying, like, what?
In real life, what? Crazy. And we all get really on. But it's just like, when it comes to each of us doing a project or something like that, we all kind of like put our heads together, and everyone just kind of goes and helps out there, gives really useful advice. No one's ever been going like, well, that's shit, that's that. It's always like, here's what you could do. Yeah. Something different to that. So everyone's really helped out in the kind of core group we have right now. It's really annoying because people have gone like, oh, have you found it, like, any parts really difficult? I mean, like, I would have if it wasn't for these people. Yeah. But I've always like had a really nice cushion and a really bit of, like, where I could go like, hey, this, and then they give it, and I get an answer within like less than a day. It's really awesome to have that team, which is why we want to plan on doing more things in the future. So you could even say the WOM is kind of like, it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a fantastic event, I think. Mm. But it is just like, it's just a taste of what things we can do.
Yeah.
Because this is our first time doing it. I think we're only going to get better and awesome, better at it.
Yeah, it's something that can only come with practice, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
I'm so excited to see it. And I've started. So me and my group of friends, we've got myself, Ian and Dave are coming up, which getting Ian out of his house to do anything other than Empire is an amazing feat. So firstly, incredibly good job for that. And then we've got Paige, who I don't know if you would remember them from the last Northern Kingdoms, but they won the best...
Spheres. Instantly remember Paige. I said to someone, Paige is the perfect example of someone who comes to a LARP. And was that their first time doing LARP or magic?
No. So they've done lots of LARPs before, but it was their first Northern Kingdoms.
First Northern Kingdoms.
Yeah.
But it was the spare example. They came and asked someone with the orbs and was like, that's all they really need. Sold me on that. And I was right? Like, yeah. And the great thing about Paige was seeing them then was just like, they always seemed like they were involved in doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you said they're coming to WOM, yeah?
Yeah. So,
saying they're coming to WOM has made me happy as well.
Oh, that's so good.
Awesome to see like great players coming to great events.
Yeah. So it's Ian Page and I, we're all going elves. Which I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave and Callum and Ellie. I'm not sure what their characters they've settled on, but they're definitely going kind of like Rohan, like Rohirrim kind of characters, which I'm so excited to see. Yeah.
With them, it's just like, when it comes to those three, I always just expect the kind of like the best. I always think like whatever they come as, and that kind of, you as well. Like when you guys come to Northern Kingdoms, you help tenfold. I think even if it was yourself, Ellie, Callum, and like an area,
yeah,
and like say it was just a field with nothing in it, I think the event would be made. I think you guys bring something to Northern Kingdoms that's like...
I bring is a very angry kid when he medic.
Yeah, but it adds that thing of like, whenever I've come in, I've always seen you like doing something or helping someone, which is a great thing to see. So I'm always... It's really cool to see... I've heard stuff of like bad LARPers, and there are them out there, and there's kind of people who don't necessarily like to play ball and stuff like that. We've had experiences with it all.
Yeah.
But it's great to hear people like yourself, Ellie, Callum, and hey, all coming up to WOM to support it, because I'd like to see great players come to this.
We're so excited. I think it's as soon as we even heard it and saw the Facebook post, we were all just like, oh my God, this is the moment we have all been waiting for. And like, not to put any pressure on you at all, because like there's none. But I think it's just the fact that it's getting us all together.
Yeah.
And something fresh, and like, even though, because this is a lot of people that were asking questions in the Facebook group were sort of concentrating on the fact that Lord of the Rings, like, what a challenge to undertake, right?
Man, it's not like a crew meet. We had a kind of mini crew meet with like people like Michael and stuff like that, and we were speaking of it, but LARP, and somebody said something really important, which was like, as opposed to The Witcher, mm. which when it comes to this LARP, we're going to have to say, and it's not anything like we're offended by it. It's something when it comes to the theme of Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
I was like, we're like, nobody really swears. So we can't really have anyone going like, well, fuck you. Fuck you, Treebeard.
Those fucking Ents.
Yeah, we can't have stuff. It's because it doesn't feel like Lord of the Rings. So mm. like I said to Michael, that's one of the challenges we have to do is like, the feeling of when you watch a trilogy just gives you like, I have to like emotionally prepare myself before I watch it because it's yeah. just such a ride. And so I said, we have to try and get that kind of feeling in there. One of the biggest things, the music adds a lot to Lord of the Rings.
Right, it's so good.
It's like, how do you even get past that? But so just you can't have music playing in the entire thing. Even though it'd be really cool.
Just get a massive SFX fan, get a huge speaker, and then get players to strategically stand on massive hills with their capes blowing in the wind. Or like, what's the problem?
Is someone dying? Run over with Boromir's death music. Start playing it. But like, it's just more of like creating the kind of world and kind of like having that feeling of like what Lord of the Rings feels like. So that's one of designing the LARP and writing the stories and all that was fun. The tough work is actually trying to feel like Lord of the Rings and feel like you're in that world. So that's one of the things we have been focusing on. So it is great to hear stuff like that. Yeah,
I think it's going to be so exciting, and we had a couple of questions like about the mechanics of encounters, and I know that you don't want to like spoil any of the story or anything, but James, our good friend from Northern Kingdoms, is sort of asking about the monster and enemy encounters, about whether or not they're going to sort of take more inspiration from the cinematic universe with the sort of large scale battles. Or will we see anything from the book/appendices that may throw us off guard?
So, weird fact. as much as I'm making, I'm like running a WoW and stuff like that, I've read some of the books. I've not read a lot of them because my attention span just drifts off.
Yeah.
But lucky for me, I have a friend, Michael, who's a walking encyclopedia. He's basically like the Cimmerillion come to life. And so, anything that comes to that, I can speak to him.
Yeah.
Nothing spoiled. Obviously, there's going to be orcs.
Oh, so
orcs. You'll be fighting orcs. And we want, like, when playing orcs, I'm going to explain to people, it's not just going to be people in masks. I want them to fight like orcs who are kind of scrappy and they're very, like, somewhat annoying to fight because they'll use every dirty tactic that's out there. They won't fight vulnerably in any way. I never seen to Emma. I have orcs, but I just can't fight orcs the full weekend. For research purposes, obviously, I had to watch the extended trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. For research purposes, not
that. Did you do The Hobbit as well, and did you do it chronologically or not? That's the question.
Of course. Multiple times. Not chronological. Chronological, the best way.
Release order or chronological? Like, I can't decide.
There's wild men that are there that are just kind of like your easy stand-up mock-up bandits, which are kind of like... stuff like that, but we also this isn't really a spoiler, there's going to be some like stuff you didn't see in the films there.
Ooh,
like there's like
Tom Bombadil.
Oh, Tom Bombadil, of course. I wouldn't say he's an enemy, I wouldn't say he's an ally. he's there having a good time.
He's finally got the recognition he deserves.
You know, the strap on the bull wig and that
sort of thing.
I think we said there might be some whites there, which is something you don't see.
Yeah.
And there's all these ideas I had for like the kind of bigger ones, but I think that'll need to wait till event 2 or maybe like 3 or something like that. But like, we've got a lot of ideas for people, for what people can fight and how different ways to fight, because I don't want it just to be, hey, whack this 50 times and it dies. I want it's one of the things when you become a DM, you realise you can't just have your players fight in an arena all throughout the campaign. Throw a puzzle in there, do something different with the enemy, how can they react this way?
Yeah.
So we do have multiple ideas when going into Airworm so there'll be plenty of different enemies to fight in different ways you're going to have to fight them. And it's just about, I'd say, sticking together and seeing how well you can actually work together.
Because you said earlier about the fact that when they go out on patrols and the sort of encounters that you're going to get there, One mechanic that we haven't talked about yet is the sort of the healing and rest mechanic that you've built into it. Which if anybody who wants any more details on this, the design documents are all online at the website, which I'll put in the description. But it's a really interesting thing about how you have to give your players time to recuperate after they've been injured. I think that's a really cool mechanic.
I don't want people just like being out to the biggest fight of their life, or they've just like come back and they're injured and they go, put me back in, coach. It's like, no, you've got to maybe take some time to rest. And like me, rest, that sometimes you might come up with an epiphany in your head for your character. You might discover something. You might see someone like acting in a shifty way.
Yeah.
So it's like it's time for you to kind of sit down, have some food. You should rest a lot. You just kind of get to see like what's going on in the camp, because necessarily this event, it isn't just like go out, fight, come back, and it's just like rinse and repeat. In this fort, we wanted to try and make it feel like a living, breathing fort of like it's been activated for years.
Yeah.
And like the stuff going on in and around the town of Bree, because the town of Bree isn't the nicest of places. It's like got a little bit of scheminess if you see it, because you're only in there in the Fellowship of the Ring for like a couple, like 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Not a lot goes on, but you do get the feeling that it's like kind of a schemey, kind of not a great town.
Yeah.
But like, so I had to speak to Michael a lot about like how the town operates and like what's the kind of idea like around it and stuff like that. So we had a lot of talks like that. And so yeah, when it comes to kind of encounters, I wanted people to like be able to like interact with the fort as well as just going out in combat, because when it comes to combat, kind of talk about that a little bit. Say you go out to the scouting thing, what we plan on doing is like you're walking out of the fort, you'll see the doors close behind you, and then you're off into the woods, and you're kind of like, it's not like you can go like run back to the fort and get help, because like the fort's locked. You can't just bring enemies back. You have to kind of try and figure out a way to do that. So we wanted to kind of try and treat it more like a working fort and not just like, this is just a place you are. This is going to be a place where you have to try and build up and make better and try and like defend from the enemies that are coming to get it.
Yeah, that's kind of exciting. And I think on, and it, this is going to sound a little bit thing as well, but something I've realised in a lot of some other LARPs is this mechanic might actually help stop encounter hogging is what I'm going to say as well. Like it's kind of good because it means that like if all of your best fighters get injured, then you're like, oh crap, we've got to reinforce the line somehow, and then it's going to like sort of push more people to the front, which would be quite exciting, I think.
Say you go out to a scouting, you're going to go out and say like necessarily, or sometimes scouting party might just be like, do you mind if I come along with you, and like, because we're going to have herbs out in the wild and stuff, like you could pick. Yeah. And someone's like, can I just come along with you just so I can pick herbs alongside you? I can't necessarily fight. I just want to grab this for the fort. It helps a lot. And sometimes, like, when it comes to a scouting party, you got to think, do we really want to send, like, people who are just all sword fighters? We'll have to have a mix, just so you never know what you're going to run into.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of encounters you can run into. I don't think we'll get through what we've written down on the event. Because there's going to be sometimes you go out and you'll fight orcs. Sometimes you go out and you'll find an elf who's crying at a tree. And he's like, oh god, they're going to cut it down. This is my friend, stuff like that. So you'll have moments like that. You'll have moments you come across two angry dwarves arguing over mines. And you have to kind of split the orc up. Isn't always going to be out. You go out, do some sword fighting and return to the fort. It could happen like that. When it comes to like how winds work in it. A lot of times when I go to an event, it's like a hit system, or it's just like remembering how many hits you have.
Yeah.
I don't think it always works out, not to people's detriment, just because you're in a fight. You can't tell if you've been hit or not, because it's a foam sword. You only really know if you've been hit if someone's not fighting safe.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's better like a reactionary thing, because that's what when we went to witch school, we weren't given a health pill or anything. It was just like, if you get hit, react to it. If you get hit in the arm and you feel like that would have hurt me, react to it. Yeah. Obviously, if you're wearing plate, you'd think that's not going to hurt me. If someone was to hit you, you'd think that would hurt me. Take a step back, drop your sword. That's sometimes the part where you have to kind of try and think of like what you're going to do if you can't use your weapon. And what I'd like to do as well with people who are playing the kind of medic class, I like to, sometimes people like, not taking their hits affects their game. So what we've also done is that medics basically go, like, if they see you get hit in the field, they go, no, I've seen you got hit, you're hurt.
Yeah.
And if they see, like, I don't want to cause, like, anything, but if the player just has to go, like, oh, no, I've not been hit, I would say it falls to the medic to go, like, you were. Let me come back and I'll heal you. And we get to this awesome little roleplay thing. And maybe I get to carry you back and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like cool mechanics when it comes to like healing and like how badly a wound is. Because I think we have three stages, which is minor, major, and severe.
Yeah.
Minor is just like you've been hit. Major is like get back to the fort. That's what you kind of need to get fixed. Mm. Severe, we've said, is like you've been stabbed in the gut, or you've been like hit, you've been like down. So like best way to explain it is like when Boromir gets hit with the second arrow.
Yeah.
There was no chance of him getting back up and maybe surviving.
No.
I would say when you've been hit by a severe injury, you want to give your character a cool send off. So I'd say that we're giving people that time to kind of do that.
Yeah.
And we're saying like a severe injury, and like that would be again hit with an arrow in the chest, something that you think. There's no magic. So all something can really do is try to bandage you up, stitch you or something like that.
Yeah.
It's rudimentary medical stuff, so it's not really, like, the best that's going to save you.
Yeah.
And there's no elven healing. So when it comes to, like, getting hit,
yeah,
sometimes it can be, like, pretty life and death. I didn't want death to be something that people were necessarily afraid of. Sometimes death scenes are the best part of LARP because, again, one of the things of Lord of the Rings is that stuff ends. People do fade away. So, like, seeing that a LARP just can kind of really help enforce that of like every time you go out it is a risk and it's like really
it's
the fight you're kind of risking for
and it is kind of good as well because it reminds people that whilst all of their characters are fake and you know as you're all going to go back to work at the end of the weekend and things like that, it keeps you more emotionally attached to your character as well. Like I feel like a lot of LARPs, especially the larger first LARPs like Empire and CP, so many characters now are just like completely overpowered where they just go into an encounter and they stand there not even attacking anybody on the battlefield because they're like, I've got 27 hit points and I am fine.
I don't like that. It's like the perfect way to explain it is like in Lord of the Rings, the Battle of Helm's Deep, there's an elf called Haldir who's there who comes as like Aragorn's friend. I think he's lived for like a couple of thousand years, and he comes and like an Uruk-hai that just gets him in the back is what kills him, and it can just be something like that. You could live for like thousands of years, but like if an orc just gets you at the wrong time, that can be it. And I think what you should really get if you die is you should really get to have a moment where you go like, I'm just gonna charge the enemy and you guys all run, or I'm just gonna like have a really good speech, or I'm gonna die kind of quietly. I want people to treat death with the same reverence that they should have and kind of like have it be part of the LARP, not just like something that's just like, you die, you're dead. Yeah. I want death to actually have meaning when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's so exciting, man. It's so annoying because seeing as I've been to 4 different LARP systems now and in every single one I've played a medic, I was like, I am not going to play a medic this time. And then I read the medical game and I was like, God damn it, no. I'm just going to have a really well-tended garden at this rate.
That's all you need.
The garden archer, I think that might be what I'm heading off to.
That's fine. It's really, the garden's the weird thing because I've made the kind of idea for it and how it works and just like, you have your own plot.
Mm.
You get to choose what goes in it and like, there's things that obviously that helps you and how they help you. But it takes time to grow.
Yeah.
So say you plant Ephelas, I think we have it at like, it takes 2 hours to grow. You have to leave it there and kind of come back and make sure it's tended to.
Mm.
And Chelly will keep mark of it. Obviously it will grow and stuff like that over time, but you have to kind of like then kind of like make a conscious decision of what you're making. It can't just be, oh, I'm going to make this, then I've got this, then I've got that. If you start making it for like 2 hours and see somebody comes up to you and goes, I need this, you're like, I can't because I'm currently growing this. there will be like a weird demand to it, which is getting into like a Narcos Escobar of like all the gardeners will be like the kingpins and they'll be like, what do you need? I can get you it. But yeah, we've got like a really cool area for the garden as well. And the crazy thing about the garden is the garden's not in the fort. It's outside of the fort.
Oh no.
So like to go out there is even a risk of itself. It's near the fort. It's like to go out there, you're not in the safety of the fort, and you're the kind of whatever could happen can happen out there.
Yeah. Oh no. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh God, I better get some armor on. And that kind of like we've talked about quite a lot of the mechanics. Is there anyone in particular that you are like most excited for players to experience, do you think?
So like when we have like our own kind of all like NPCs and stuff like that, I was wanting around eight of them. So we have got them all, and they all have different personalities and whatnot. Michael kind of wanted to play kind of straight arrow, doing a down ranger. He's happy for people to be there. There are some rangers who are like, we don't need outside help. We don't need people to be there. And not in a nasty way, but they're like, we have a way of doing things. You're not going to understand that.
Yeah.
We have some people who have given up on the idea of that even being a fort there. We have some people who have just like fallen into being a Dunedain. They've been like, I wasn't born into this, but I've just been taken in by the rangers. There's some people who, yeah, there's so many different characters. Not all the Dunedain are going to act the same.
Yeah.
They're not going to be complete like horrible people. They're not going to be like, if someone goes like, oh, I need this, they're going to go, no. They're there as refs, major NPCs, and that just to help you. So if you have any questions, they can. The other different way we're doing this, and it's quite different, I can tell it's one of the back things we're doing, it's an idea I have for how it's going to run. So in the fort itself, at the top area, there's a house, and that's going to be another crew room that isn't like necessarily for bandit encounters, that's just for organisation. And there'll also be one down where the monsters are, so the communication is like, is this ready to go out? That's ready to go out. And it's almost like, operator, is this event ready to go out? It goes, yes, no problem, it can go out. So we changing it that way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have two different kind of like encounter Bibles that we essentially have, which is, I don't know if you ever met him, Raz has a partner called Craig, who quite quiet to himself, and he doesn't like get involved in stuff, but when it comes to administration at LARP, he was there for the cave episode. That was his first day in at the caves, and like no one of us saw this just because it's his background. The caves were hard to organise because no radios. You'd have to, the kind of like messengers in World War One have to run across the trenches to get anything. But Craig spent like an hour just like organising everything, had it all up, and it was like you would go up to him and go like, do you need anything? And he would, because Craig's so dry, but not in a mean way, just go, don't need you. And it was so good to have.
Yeah.
Because it was so good to go up to someone and go, do you need this? And you go, nope. And you just go back, sit back down. And Craig's just that like, wonderful person when it comes to that. So we're kind of tag teaming each side of the thing.
That sounds so good.
So like, hopefully...
Yeah.
We'll see in practice. Hopefully we'll have a great weekend streamlining thing of like the monsters will come out, and it's not one of those things of like you'll see the monsters. Sometimes events you'll see monsters go into the encounter and you'll, well, that's a bunch of
they'll
have guardians walking up the hill. I wonder where they're going. On the roof.
It's always something quite funny, especially at Last Northern Kingdoms, where, because obviously that where the campsite was, you could see that everybody walking off, and we're like, oh, cool. That's a lot of crossbows.
that's a lot of crossbows. Everyone just starts packing up. So like, so we're hoping to avoid any of that. And when you go out, you truly don't know what you're going to get experienced.
Oh, that's one of those so things, exciting.
Like, one of my favourite games is Red Dead 2. And so when you leave your camp, you go out and you get, there's random encounters everywhere. And so I kind of like the idea of when you leave, you don't know anything what you're going to expect. Anything can happen. You could be walking along going like, ah, this might be a joke one, and then 10 orcs ambush you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that this, oh, that's so exciting. I'm just getting such LARP hype now.
I wish I could tell people to like set expectations low, because it is my first one.
Yeah.
And like, who knows if all we come after this go, it all fell apart. But I keep telling Emma, in my head, I'm just such a annoying to myself, where I go like, even if it falls apart and say it's like, everyone has a bad weekend. I kind of now know what not to do.
Yeah.
Kind of like, so I can like try and hopefully tricks in the future, because it is something I do want to do in
the
future.
It is. I think as well, it's like, it's something that I keep on bringing it back to, is the fact that nobody goes to a LARP. I mean, some people do go to LARP just for the encounters and just to go and swing around a foam sword or you know, get a bit of archery practice in and things like that. But for me especially, and for quite a few of my friends, is we go for the RP and we go for the people. And as I've been LARPing more and getting more friends, I think it's It's the fact that everybody's just so excited to see each other and then see what kind of crazy characters people come up with. Yeah. And I think that, you know, having heard who's on the crew from just those small names that you've mentioned to me, and then, you know, knowing which of my friends are going, it's just going to be such a nice, even if everything breaks and no LARPing occurs because there's no feasible way for it to work, just having everybody together in a fort in the middle of Scotland is just so exciting. I think that the players will make it at that point. Right?
That sells it. Even if no LARPing happens, and we all just go like, because our selling point, and maybe we should have spotted, there is a working bar there that the venue
no.
does have. And that's it has nothing to do with me. Mm. That's just what the venue has, because they do gigs and stuff like that there.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you mind if we run this as an 80 plus event? Run it all fucking weekend for a laugh. Yeah. So if people go up and buy a drink, that's what it could just become.
Yeah.
if like halfway through the Saturday we go, no one's having fun, let's just go up and have a piss
just,
up in a fort.
Just have a Kaylee. Just get a yeah. Kaylee band in the corner and then just get everybody in their kit doing the Dashing White Sergeant, and it would be absolutely fine.
Yeah. Damn right, that's all I need.
That's all right, we've covered the fallback plan. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I think that's like, those are all the questions I've got. We've just got a couple of questions from the other listeners, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of covered the reason why you wanted to do Lord of the Rings and things like that, but like, is there anything specifically that you wanted to concentrate on to like capture the vibe and like the element of such a large universe? Like, that was a question from our dear friend Daniel, but like also from Tom and Ian as well. They were quite keen on knowing about it.
Yeah, it's quite the hard task, because Lord of the Rings has that certain vibe and that certain like aura about it of just like, when you watch the films, they are treated with such reverence, and when you watch them, they're just such great films, and like each part of them is better than the last.
Yeah,
it's gonna be very hard to translate. I'm hoping to have 2% of that.
Yeah.
I hope, because like when we were making it, we were writing stuff and I said this is a bit too gritty, so we pulled all that some stuff out. There are bits when people are supposed to laugh, which is part of Lord of the Rings. There's parts when like we try and want to make a kind of deeply emotional bit, and there's just some downright silly parts, just because that is Lord of the Rings. We have tried to set that atmosphere of like, when I said to Michael, one of the pitches about it was like, do you know when they go into, I can't remember the place, I think it's like, when you go to the Rohan's first place, it's like the place where the big, it's Kent, the fort's kind of like that, and I was like, imagine going into there, everyone's kind of sad, and then just try to like bring them back up.
Mm.
We're trying to hope to get like, almost feel like when you start off on the Friday night, you feel like, oh, this place is maybe a little bit doomed.
Yeah.
Then hopefully by a Sunday, you guys are like, I would give nothing more than to like live and die in this fort. We're hoping to kind of create this bond in a weird way, fellowship of just kind of like becoming these rangers that are like helping out the team.
Well, that's good. I think this is just his go-to question, and I don't know why, because I don't think he even listens to this podcast. How many baby bells do you think you can stick in your mouth and still say the word Rohirrim?
So, crazy thing is, I got asked this, and I saw it, and I went, instantly I thought 8. And I'll tell you this, I bought baby bells. But last night, I sat and watched the show Shogun, and I watched 3 episodes of it, and before I knew it, I'd eaten all the baby bells.
Unbelievable.
So I can fit 8, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to get more, because baby bells are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to film myself eating 8.
I was about to ask. I was like, 100%
I am. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I just ate all the baby bells I had.
But they're such a Moorish and delicious snack. Please sponsor us, Baby Bell. That would be great. Yeah. I would happily get sponsored by Baby Bell.
I always just say that we're a massive wax ball.
Like,
what do I do with this?
What do you even do with the wax shells after? No idea. Nick's kind of really summed up the fact that, like, are you aware just how much you are loved by the LARP community?
I know I'm loved by Nick. And, like, just for playing one character of Bo, I kind of like how that, like, when people come, and if I come out as Bo, people do seem happy and care to see me, which is, it's always a great feeling, people happy to see you. And it's always great to kind of see the effect you can have on people. Because it's going to sound weird, I'm quite a hermit and quite a shut-in person in real life, where I'm quite, like, sequestered at, like, kind of, like to sit in my house, and I like to kind of play video games, go to work and that's all I really do. I'm not really a massive social person.
Yeah.
But I feel like at LARP, I am. I feel like at LARP, I just feel comfortable. And I just feel like I can. I feel like comfortable and kind of safe to kind of act like a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And have that moment of just like, what if I was a wine-swirling buffoon idiot?
Yeah.
Noble. But yeah, I think that's kind of the great thing. I think the people who I get on best at LARP, like Michael, I've been friends with a few years, but Seth, Chelly, you, David, Callum, I think it's because, it's going to sound so weird, I think it's because we're, like, as much as we don't want to admit it, we're all somewhat real adults.
No.
And I think...
That's it. Episode over.
Sorry. And I think when we get to go to these events, I think the people who are best at LARPs are people who are real adults in real life.
Because
when you go to a LARP and you go, oh my God, there's no bills, there's no...
No telephone.
There's no telephone. Chuck it away. There's no... my shoes have just broke, I need to buy a new pair.
So
there's none of that real life stuff. It's just you go, and it doesn't matter if, again, if you just sit in your ass all weekend and watch people come in and out, talk to your friends, but in a silly voice, that's enough for me. And I think that's one of the greatest things. Again, I really didn't think when I was a teenager, this is what I have a true passion for.
But
if I think about it, it does make complete sense. I'm really, really happy I'm able to have an effect on people that kind of like garners that kind of love and respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely well deserved. Even if you will blush and refuse to take any kind of compliment at all. What did
somebody said the other night? It was I think it was Alex who does Northern Kingdoms. She complimented me in some way, and I think Raz just shouted, "No, please stop! His head might swell."
You won't be able to get through the gates of the medieval village.
Yeah, we won't get through the gates.
No, I think it's so well deserved, and I think that like I'm so in awe of you and the whole organisation of the event. I was reading through the Discord earlier just to kind of get my head in the zone for talking to you about it, because I feel like it's almost like you've been hyped up as like this LARP celebrity now. I was really nervous sitting down to come and talk to you, and I was like, oh God. Oh no, I'm gonna have to ask him questions, and he's gonna be talking to me, and I don't know what to do. And you're just an amazing and wonderful energy to be around, and I'm so excited to see it like come to life in Wome. And it's like, yeah, I'm just so excited. Is there anything that you're most excited to see people do?
I think what I really hope when this event starts is I really hope I'm able to care like. Subvert a lot of expectations of what they can come see, and I'm hoping that people are just, when they come away from it, go like, either I'm tired and I'm bruised, but I can't think of all the things I've done, or man, I'm more relaxed. like a holiday where like, because it'll be sunny. Hopefully it won't be as rainy in Scotland. It'll be actually quite sunny, and so I hope people just kind of go, I just sat in a lounge chair and it was great. I'm really hoping to kind of give a really good experience. I'm hoping. So yes, with all the some bad experiences I've had, I'm hoping to kind of not have those and try almost create something that's just like perfect for people who understand what I'm going for. Of like, that's what like many people come up, commit to the bit, have a laugh, do a little swashbuckling kind of sword fighting, and just be able to tell great stories. It's all kind of reasons we all like come together is to tell kind of great stories of like how they can. Weave and kind of bounce off each other.
Yeah, I think I'm so excited for it. I will keep on saying it. I'll probably say it at least 5 times a day until June.
Well, I can't wait for like the day after. It's like the Willy Wonka event. It's like this Lord of the Rings event run, and there was this creature called the Unknown. These people came up from England.
And then there was just one person dressed as an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, that's... I've always pitched a Willy Wonka LARP, let me tell you this. If we're going out in something, I've always wanted to pitch a Willy Wonka LARP where the people were Oompa Loompa sympathisers and there's an Oompa Loompa rebellion and you have to take Willy Wonka.
Oh my God. That's it. That's Wome episode 2.
Yeah. that's the freaking end though. I'll say this. I really want to thank anybody who does listen to this and kind of like who's coming to the event. First of all, giving your time and your money to actually come to the event. I understand getting up here, paying for the ticket is so great as well. But also people have just kind of like yourself and Hefty Yeti and stuff like that who've taken time to like, I want to hear, talk about it, I want to talk about it, I want to kind of help you and stuff like that.
Mm.
People who have bought tickets. I never thought, I said, Emma said it the best when we were going to do the venue visit.
Yeah.
We were like driving up there and she just turns and went, you know what, I never thought you'd actually go through with it. I said to Emma, I was like, no, I actually have to put it on now. Hoping to somewhat avoid that, but I'm really excited for people to come up, see the venue, and go, oh my god, LARP can happen in Scotland, and I can hope people can run their own LARPs, people are able to come up here, and just kind of create a bigger community at large of it, and just kind of have that on respect. But yeah, thanks everyone who's actually supported it thus far. Yeah,
and I think it's going to be amazing, and I'm so excited to see any other events that you put on after this one. I think if anybody has any other questions, you've got the website, which is warriorsofmiddleearth.co.uk, correct?
Yeah. There's also warmlarp@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email. There's the Facebook. There's a Discord that you get everybody's welcome to join. Shoot me a question whenever. I'm happy enough to talk about it at large with anyone. If they have questions about, like, concerns, they have questions about how I'm going to play a character, feel free to. I'm always happy enough to try and get a response back to someone within the same day. If you have questions about it, please let me know.
Even if it's what other kind of food products you can shove in your mouth and still say we're here.
Yeah.
Well, amazing. I think that's us. So without further ado, let's say a fond farewell and be like Boromir with how many hours was it? Six at the end? Let's be like Boromir Porcupine and say farewell.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thanks, everyone.